My guest is Peter Rupert, UCSB Economic Forecast Director, and we are going to get into some topics here in Santa Barbara and what's going on downtown, State Street, rent stabilization. The economic forecast, the annual economic forecast, is May 21st, 2026, Granada Theater, 4:30 p.m. Go online to Arts and Lectures, find tickets, call them 893-3535. Before we jump into these other topics, Peter, anything to say about the speakers and the format?
Yeah, it's going to be, purely AI. And by the way, if people, would like to sponsor the forecast project, feel free to get in touch with us. But the speakers are going to be Zach Cass, who has a new book out called The Next Renaissance. And he was the go-to-market guy for OpenAI. And he was right there at the, kind of the beginning and knows where it is and where it's going. And the first 500 people who come get one of his books for free. So, and the other speaker is Igor Mezik. Igor is a colleague of mine and at UCSB. He's in the engineering department. He is a kind of world-renowned expert on machine learning and AI, and basically has started a cybersecurity firm here in town called Mixed Mode. He's one of the founders that does pure machine learning in cybersecurity, because as you probably know, the bad guys are using AI. And so if you're not using AI to protect yourself, you're pretty vulnerable.
Good point. Good point. If you have a link to the book or for that guest and you email to me, I'll put it up on the podcast when we rebroadcast this online at radiorealestate.com. Sounds fascinating. I'm looking forward to it. So we have a recent Santa Barbara City Council decision on what they're calling rent stabilization. And I think from our last interview, you're kind of really focused on this topic. And you said to me that rent control is a renter's nightmare. Why do you say that?
Well, lots of reasons. I mean, by the way, calling it rent stabilization, trying to find a new name for something that everybody knows is a price control, it's not going to work. But so rent stabilization, price control, rent control, call it what you may, they're all the same thing at the end of the day. So, basically, the idea is it's true that if you prevent rents from rising, those people who are lucky enough to be in those particular apartments, one would think they're going to be winners, because they're there, their rents aren't going to go up very much. Again, that's a little bit false, because, what happens is, if prices are going up outside, if the cost of maintenance, the cost of cleaning, the cost of parts and repairs and all those things are going up with inflation, and you can't raise your prices, your rents to be able to pay for that, then what you're going to do is you're going to let them slide. You're going to not do things as you would have. You may not paint as often. Some things may break, and it's like, I can't really afford to fix it. And we've seen that in many, many cities around the world, that housing becomes dilapidated. And of course, if you want to stop that, you're going to have to hire people to go in and inspect houses. I mean, it's that's a nightmare in and of itself. So renters, yes, their rents aren't going to go up very much, but their quality of housing is probably going to fall. But the bigger problem there is really, like, there's going to be very little new development, because private developers are not going to be able to get the return on their investment, and just they'll do it somewhere else, or, they'll invest somewhere else. And so what that means is there's a normal churning of houses and jobs in the world, and that's a very healthy, natural thing. And I mean, you want people who no longer need a three-bedroom apartment to move out and let a new family move in, who is going to be doctors or nurses or teachers or whatever. That stops. That churning just stops. And so it's a vital part of an economy that you have this churning, where new jobs are being created, other people are moving out to other jobs. And if you're in a rent-controlled place, you don't move. You basically stay there and prevent new people from moving in. So to me, that kind of misallocation, or the prevention of this churning in the labor market and the housing market is really detrimental to a vibrant economy.
My guest, Peter Rupert, UCSB Economic Forecast Director. And you mentioned worldwide. So you look at this, you're not looking at Santa Barbara only, and you're looking at different states, different countries, and there's examples. And this information has been presented to the city council, has it not?
Many times, many times. Yes, sir.
Hence the expression falling on deaf ears. I understand on the one hand, the desire to kind of like say this, boy, this things are really out of control. I mean, look, housing prices are out of control. I don't know how and where these people keep coming from to pay these prices.
Right.
Around the rest of the country in California, things are slowing down. There's more sellers and buyers. I'm not saying we're not slowing down at all, but we seem to be a little insulated. But when you mention they're calling it rent stabilization or rent control, use the term price control. And honestly, I can't remember people using that. And if you use it that way, like, would they also freeze property taxes, a homeowner's insurance? You mentioned repairs. If
Sure.
they could do all that, and isn't the city, you mentioned inspections, a landlord told me that they're actually going to be charging landlords to do some kind of inspections. I don't know if you know the nitty-gritty on that.
I don't know. I mean, I heard the same thing of that, but I didn't really hear, all the nitty-gritty. But so again, this is like a rabbit hole, and you're gonna have to do things. For example, if I own an apartment and they're doing all these things to me, what I'll do is I'll turn it into a condo. I'll just sell it. Right? And if I turn it into a condo, that means one less rental space available. And so then what you're gonna have to do, like Beverly Hills had to do it, okay, let's put a cap on how many things can be turned into a condo in any one year, and so all these things happen because you're trying to control a price and lots of things. So, I mean, by the way, food's also an important issue, right? And where is it where they're saying, we should cap tomatoes at 29 cents a pound instead of 99 cents a pound? I mean, we don't do that. We figured out better systems to let people who really can't afford it to be able to buy food. And how did we do that? We do that with SNAP, or they used to be called food stamps. And so what we do is we say, look, we understand that you're, in poor circumstances. And so in order to help you, if you qualify, you get a certain amount of food stamps that pays for food. Now, what does that mean? It means the tomato grower gets the market price for tomatoes and grows the right number of tomatoes. You tell farmers you can only get 29 cents a pound for tomatoes, they're not growing any.
Right. They'd convert their land to apartments and build them, but then they can't, rent
Right.
control would prevent them from doing that. So I don't know what they'd do.
Right.
Well, and we have items like Section 8 to help people on rent.
Correct. Correct. It's a great program. That kind of voucher system is the kind of thing we need. The problem with Section 8 is, it's got a lot of, bad things associated with somehow. I don't know why. I think that it turns out that, getting a guaranteed rent if you're a landlord and the tenant pays the market rent, to me that's kind of a win-win situation.
I had a my guest Peter Rupert, UCSB Economic Forecast Director. I had a client a long time ago, and about he eventually divested himself, but he had about 60 rentals in numerous buildings in the downtown area. And I remember him telling me he loved Section 8. He said he got more rent out of the Section 8 tenants than he did out of just his market rate tenants. I don't know why.
Yes, no, I've heard the same thing. And people say that, look, if you're lucky enough to get into a Section 8, a lot of, as you probably know, a lot of owners don't really like Section 8 people. But if you're lucky enough to be one of those Section 8 tenants, I mean, you want to keep that, and so you are a great tenant. And I've heard that from a number of landlords.
Yeah, I don't know why there's a negative thing. It's kind of like, people with plenty of money can be the worst kind of tenant. They got lawyers, they got money, they're going to not pay you rent. So it is kind of a sad disparity and a prejudice against someone who is needing a leg up, and it's like, oh, I don't want them in my building.
Right.
You know, it's it, yeah, it, it's a shame.
To me, it's, look, the fact that housing prices are high here is not the fault of landlords. It's the fault of, like you were saying, it's the demand to be here is so high, and we've restricted supply for so long that prices keep rising. And if it's not the landlord's fault and we believe it's a community issue, then the community should solve it. And, I think just taxing landlords, putting all of the onus on them is really not the proper way to proceed.
You mentioned the potential of converting your apartment to condos. I'm seeing a lot of people furnishing their rental units and going, they can't do short term, in other words, 2 or 3 days, unless they're in a specific area, but they could do 30 days. And then
Yeah.
they're not under the guise of this rent stabilization, rent control. I see a lot of people doing that, and that's taking away from the rental market. That's going to drive prices up even more.
That's correct. And then what you do is you have to have an ordinance against long-term rentals, right? So, these things, like I said, every time you try to control prices, and by the way, again, you're not old enough to remember the oil price hikes and the price controls on gas back in the 70s. I was, and I was lucky enough to be. I bought a Volkswagen, just a little bug because of gas mileage. But I had, my license plate, so I had to go on odd days. You know about this? Do you remember this?
I remember.
Okay, yeah, so my license plate ended, on an odd number, so I'd go on odd days to the gas station, and
How many license
I
plates did you own? Did you switch them out every other day?
no, I was well behaved, Mark, and I had my license plate, and I would sit in line for 2 hours. Even though it was every other, I, so, controlling prices is not the way to go. It's not the solution. To anything.
You know, I was around driving in the 70s. I don't remember the odd days on the license plate. I don't remember sitting in long lines. I mean, I was in graduated high school in 74, went upstate New York to go to college, smaller town. Had a car. I remember I went from a 66 Chevy Impala that was getting like maybe 14 miles to the gallon. Then I bought a Chevy Vega, so that doubled my gas mileage, and I remember the gas prices almost doubled. I remember paying about 50, 60 cents a gallon, and also I was smoking cigarettes, and they were about 50 or 60 cents a pack.
Right.
So cigarettes have gone up more than gasoline.
Yep. But remember, Mark, you're only making 60 cents an hour, so.
You know what? You're right. I remember
Oh,
one of my earlier jobs was working for the local butcher shop, cleaning up after school. I think I got 15 bucks a week.
yep.
So that was my biggest memory of prices and economics was when I was, maybe we were 8 years old, 9 years old. We'd go bowling. I think it cost 60 cents. And then the pizza joint right there was a slice for 15 cents and a Coke for a dime. And they
Right.
had this big neon sign. And we walked up one day and the price of pizza went up to 20 cents from 15 cents. And I just thought my world had ended. So
Yeah.
how was I could, for a quarter, I couldn't buy lunch anymore. It was tragic.
But
My guest, Peter Rupert, UCSB Economic Forecast Director. State Street. So we have this rent control stabilization. Lord knows what's going to happen. They had a survey out about State Street. They got this bollards. They want to spend $6 to $8 million per block for 9 blocks. Is the city running a deficit? Where's this money going to come from? What's going on with them?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one, Mark. But I was lucky enough to we had the architect come in, Stefanos Palazoides, come in just the other on Friday, and the board of the forecast project. He gave a special presentation to us on his plan, and I have to say, I endorse it fully. I think it's a great plan. I think it has a little bit of something for everybody. He's really trying hard to move off of the cars versus no cars thing. So that's what the bollards are for. They're going to be, these electric posts that can go up or down, and the citizens can decide, how often they want it open. His plan originally looks like it would be closed to cars from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., but so that in the morning delivery trucks could come and people could drop off what they need to, whatever. Unless we really do that, I mean, these small little things we've done, putting in pedlets for I don't know how much, crazy stuff, painting the street, that's not going to work. It's just not going to work. And, this plan is really about the community. And he's done such a good job. He's an urbanist, architect. There has to be some residential downtown. He's doing very interesting things. For example, one of the biggest issues that people don't even know about is stormwater. And so, the way the street is now, it's higher in the middle and then it slopes down to the curbs. He's going to invert that. And, that inversion is going to mean that the water is going to go into toward the center and it'll be collected in a cistern, which is going to be a collector of stormwater, which is like solves two problems at once. It's like amazing. The 6 to 8 million, they're going to redo landscaping. They're going to redo the types of bricks. It's not going to be asphalt. It's going to be actually look like it's a place to walk rather than you're walking in the middle of the street. And so, look, it's a good plan. We've been at this for, countless years, and I think it's time to say, look, this is a plan that has a little bit for everybody. It seems to me it'll work, and I think we should get behind it and really convince the council to go ahead. Now, where's the money going to come from? Well, various sources. Some's going to come from the city itself. Some's hopefully going to come from some grant proposals. There's going to be, maybe they're going to have to do a bond issue. I don't know, depending. But if we're going to revitalize our community, and by the way, just not State Street. This is not just about State Street. It's trying to revitalize the whole community. And so I think that, in order to do that, we really got to get on this. If you let this linger like it's been for another 5 or 10 years, who knows how many vacancies and what's going to happen. So I thought the plan was great. He's a great thinker. So anyway, that's my view.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, and I don't get a chance to rebut everything you just said.
Well,
But
that's the way I worked it, Mark. That's the way I worked it this time.
we'll just edit you out in post-production. My guest has been Peter Rupert, UCSB Economic Forecast Director. Granada Theater is the annual, it's not a seminar. What do you call it?
I don't know what we call it. We call it a,
May
I don't know.
21st, 4:30 p.m. at the Granada Theater. Go online, Arts and Lectures, 893-3535. Always good to talk to you. Looking forward to seeing you at the event.
Mark, thanks so much for having me. Talk soon.
You're welcome. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. Stay tuned for the weekly multiple listing sales update.